Welcome to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Welcome to Three Dimensional Wealth, and I'm glad you're here today with us because today we have a treat. I've got Kevin McCarthy with me, and Kevin has written a couple of books, The On Purpose Person and The On Purpose Business, and we're going to be talking primarily about The On Purpose Business, but I'm glad to have you with me, Kevin.
Oh, Roe, always good to be with you. I love what you're doing with your three-dimensional wealth work, too. That's cool.
Well, thank you. And it ties in quite a lot with being on purpose and the things that you're doing. And maybe you can just tell us a little bit what you've been up to lately.
Well, I've actually been writing another book. We do have a consulting practice, so I do work with that. I also have been developed and have been doing some training for an associate's program to teach other people how to help others to be on purpose in their life and their business. And I have a radio show here in Orlando, Florida, where I live. It's on WTLM AM 950. That's on Thursdays from 5 to 6. It's a local Christian radio station, and so I have guests and interviews and help people to be on purpose with that as well. So I'm sort of like you, dipping into this radio business.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let me just give some background about Kevin here before we get going too far. Started in business back in 1982, had actually a commercial real estate firm, which grew to about, I think, $20 million per year in real estate development sales.
We were doing about that.
And then he felt called to move from the development of property to the development of businesses and eventually leaders. And so in 1988, he began running what he calls tournaments, tennis tournaments, in trying to improve choices in your life and goals. And so then he wrote the book, The On Purpose Person. And we're going to talk a little about that as we go forward. Then subsequently the On Purpose Business. And I know they've sold quite a lot of copies, because I've bought quite a lot of copies myself. I'm one of your biggest fans, I want you to know.
Thank you, I know that.
And then also went on for a business degree, got an MBA from the Darden School at the University of Virginia, very prestigious, and also from Lehigh University. And I was sorry that you couldn't get into Bucknell and had to go to Lehigh. So obviously you know my
no
alma
comment.
Mater then.
No comment.
Yeah, I was a Bucknell grad. So I also want to thank you, Kevin, for introducing me to Greenleaf Publishing. Greenleaf Publishing was the publishers that actually brought us through our process of developing our book, Three Dimensional Wealth.
Oh, I didn't realize that you ended up doing that with Greenleaf. They're good folks. That's great.
Yep. And also for your endorsement on our book. And so you're on the back cover of our book, Kevin.
You're very welcome for that.
And having done that.
It was an easy endorsement because I believe in what you're doing with the three-dimensional wealth, because they are so consistent with one another in terms of where we're trying to help people see their lives and grow wealth in the truest sense of the word that you're using it.
Well, talk to us about then sort of the on-purpose person. Let's start there if we can and talk about how that develops into three dimensions.
Sure. Well, I mean, the most important thing, you know, the big picture with the on-purpose person is, first of all, it begins with a simple concept that says life is meaningful. And if somebody has a view that life is meaningless, then that leads somebody, I like to think of it as the continental divide. It leads you down a whole path and a whole set of decisions if life is meaningless. However, if you take the point of view that life is meaningful, then you begin to look at it and say, well, if my life is meaningful by definition, then how do I live in the greater meaning of that? Therefore, my life has a reason for being here because it's meaningful. Therefore, I have a purpose in life. Well, if I can understand what that purpose in life is, then perhaps I can make better decisions that are consistent with that purpose, so I'm on purpose rather than off purpose. And so somebody can be having a belief that life is meaningful, but their life feels meaningless. And that's really what it's called whenever you're off purpose. You know that life is meaningful, but you're frustrated because you're saying there's more to life than what's meeting the eye right now. How do I align with that meaning in my life? And that's in many ways, when you look at the three-dimensional wealth part, the significance, which is saying that there's deep meaning in one's life, there's significance, and you're stepping into the greater calling on your life, then you're really stepping into being on purpose. You're aligning your life and you're aligning your decisions in that direction. So in many ways, that's why it's so parallel to the whole concept of three-dimensional wealth, where you're looking at your personal wealth, your financial wealth, and your social wealth. Because all of those areas are there. First of all, you know, the personal wealth, my life's meaningful, I have a purpose. The financial wealth is, you know, how am I contributing, how am I creating value, how am I making a difference, and then the social wealth, which is how am I making a difference in the world. And you begin to really live it out, and it's investing back into the world. So that's why I said the synchronicity between these two books is remarkable, coming from very similar points of view, but very different, you know, sort of slants on it, if you will, a different facet,
appreciate. We started on this thing really was sort of coming out of 30 years in financial planning, and after 30 years of doing this, and I said, okay, what have I accomplished? What have we done? And, okay, we've helped clients accumulate financial resources. And yet what I found is that, and now the statistics are coming out, I've lived long enough to see it happen, that 70% of these plans, as they transfer to the next generation, fall apart either after one or two generations. And I kept saying, is that all there is? Is all we're trying to do is help people create value, create money, or is it just as important to help them pass on their values to the next generation?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we got thinking about, you know, the three dimensions of the wealth. And then is it only about me? Is it, you know, how do I keep getting more and more and more? And, you know, how can we make a difference? And that's the other part. And so the totality of someone's wealth is what we started to look at as the big picture, and saying, even though someone may have less on their financial statement, and they may have given it away. The question is that even if they've given those financial resources away, are they less wealthy,
mm-hmm.
or are they more wealthy? And in fact, so as we're going through, and just like, you know, you've talked about on there is to make sure that you have your, you know, your wish list, your gift list of what you're going to give away. It's the same thing for us, is to prioritize and say, you know, how can we take a life of success and turn it into significance? How can we do something for someone else? And if we do that, we believe that the person will actually be wealthier in their totality.
Absolutely. I mean, what's interesting about it to me is if you take somebody who's young, maybe they're coming out of college, and their goal, most people whenever they're young, their goal is to be a millionaire by the time they're 35 or 30 or something like that. They have a very one-dimensional view of life, which is, I want to be rich. And let's say that they then have some success and they reach some wealth, and then they inevitably come up and say, you know, there's more to life than the money. It inevitably happens. Wouldn't you agree?
I see it all the time. And that's the problem, is that the financial institutions, and I even think Madison Avenue has something to do with this, Kevin, is telling us, no, you need more of this. You can't live without this item, you know, to be consumed. Or as you start out in your career, I mean, I think of, I have one of my daughters has a boyfriend, got a great job coming out of school, and they told him, you know, your life is not your own. In basic terms, they said you'll work 6.5 days a week. And so from usually 8 o'clock in the morning till 10:30 at night, every day, sometimes later, and they said, this is what you need to do in order to be successful. And, you know, I look at it and I step back and I say, is that really the answer? Is that how you become successful? Now, maybe financially or in one dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't give you a lot of time to give back to the community. It doesn't give a lot of time to help you develop your personal relationships or your personal wealth or pass on those. And so the problem, though, is that then that becomes a pattern.
Right.
And then you start to believe what I call the lie, that this is what you need to do. And, you know, to work 6.5 days a week, I mean, I always think, well, if I can't get it done in 5, well, then maybe I shouldn't be doing it. And maybe I'm the other extreme, but somewhere in there, it's I think they're off purpose.
Well, absolutely. I mean, what happens is they get this success, and then they have that identity crisis, which is I'm nothing more than my money. Or the sad part is when they don't have the identity crisis, or they're 60 years old, or they retire, and then they have the identity crisis because they have only been their money. And then, of course, they die shortly thereafter. For most people that don't have anything beyond their job title, their prestige, and their money. But, you know, what I tend to find is a lot of people reach that sort of 30 or 40 years of age, and they start to ask the question, you know, there's more to life than this job or this money. You know, who am I? That's when they start going into that personal wealth piece of who am I really? What were the dreams that I had as a kid? And, you know, I've lived them out in some regards from a financial point of view, but I realized that the money isn't bringing me what I wanted. And then they begin to ask the social wealth question, which is how can I really make a difference with my life? And it's why you see a lot of people that, you know, sort of, unfortunately, they may get the golden handcuffs on, and then they go to their financial planner like you and say, help me get out of this bind. And you can help them. That's the beautiful part about a great financial advisor, a wealth manager, so to speak, but truly a wealth manager in the way that you guys are describing it, is you are helping them to understand there's more to life than simply their financial success. And that is a whole lot about being on purpose, because when somebody starts to ask the question, who am I? You know, why am I here on this planet? How can I make a difference? They're really asking deep purpose questions. These are the great questions of life. And a lot of times after having spent 10, 15, 20 years lost in a career where the company owns their soul, so to speak, they come back to these questions, and they really, it takes time for them to rediscover who they are. I often like to think of it as an example I use is, do you know how much material needs to be moved to find one or to mine 1 ounce of gold?
Probably 10 tons or something like that.
It's actually 180 tons of material to get 1 pound of gold, not an ounce, but one pound of gold. And to put that in perspective, 35 full-grown bull elephants equate to 180 tons. So it's like moving 35 full-grown male elephants to get 1 pound of gold. And if you're really in a dysfunctional situation, you've got more refuse piled on top of it than that. So the fact of the matter is for a lot of people, if they've got 10, 15, 20 years of sort of burying who they are or only seeing their identity in their work and their money, then sometimes to find out who they really are is a real identity crisis. It's sort of that midlife crisis that a lot of people hit at 40, so to speak. Then they start to dig deep, and they don't know how to dig because they're not skilled at doing that type of work on their life because they've sort of disconnected from it. And that's really where the on-purpose person comes in. It really helps people to dig deep in terms of who they are, what they want out of life, what their dreams are, and to then sort through that so that you do find the golden nuggets that are existing in our spirit.
That's beautiful. Kevin, we're going to take a short break. But we'll be back with more Three-Dimensional Wealth.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on The Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with Kevin McCarthy today, and we're talking about the on-purpose business. And Kevin is an author, a lecturer, an entrepreneur. And in the back of your book, On-Purpose Business, I love this that you've written. It says, I'm the steward of a gift called Being on Purpose. I'm in awe of seeing this message profoundly touching lives, and you've obviously touched a lot because you've sold hundreds of thousands of books and influencing organizations. It's a privilege. I'm compelled to share. So, I mean, that's terrific, Kevin.
Well, it's true. It is a gift that I am a steward of, and you understand what a steward is better than anybody, but it's also got a high responsibility with it as well. And that's a privilege, again, that comes with it.
Well, that's good. Let's talk about in the on-purpose business. We talk about purpose, vision, mission, values, and I think before I read your book, Kevin, I was like most. All those words are synonymous to me. They kind of get blurry. I really don't know the difference. And one of the things that you've been able to do is really articulate. In fact, I have in my mind a picture of what you're going to describe, I think.
Sure. I have a little guy I call him the on-purpose pal. What I found with the words purpose, vision, mission, and values back in the 1980s when I was really doing a lot of reading and research on all of this, trying to sort out the confusion, because I was doing business consulting, and I saw a lot of clients, Roe, that were really confused. And what I found was the confusion was at a deep strategic level. I mean, yes, if they were manufacturing, you know, widgets or whatever it was they were doing, and they could do that. But at some level, there was this deep confusion in the business. And at the strategic level, and so I started looking at the words purpose, vision, mission, and values, and realized that everybody was using them synonymously. And it's like a tower of business babble that two people can be having a conversation about vision, and it means something completely different from one to the other. It's like if I said the word apple, and you think of a red, ripe, you know, juicy apple, delicious apple, and I'm thinking of an Apple computer, and we're trying to have a conversation, and we're talking about two different types of apples altogether. It's kind of like what's going on out there in the world. So I created this visual. And if you think of if somebody were listening and they have a piece of paper in front of them, they could draw a large heart. And heart is your purpose. Purpose is a matter of the heart. It's answering the question, why am I here? Or who am I? Those are the deep-seated questions of the heart. And then if you draw a circle over top of that heart, that becomes the head. And the head is where the vision is. And the vision's trying to answer the question, where am I going with my life? Or where am I going with my business? It could be either one. And it's symbolized by the color blue, where the heart, of course, is symbolized by the color red. So you've got red, blue, red for the heart, blue for the head, or blue for vision. Then the hands. If you draw some hands off to the side of the heart, I like to do like little thumbs up, like Mickey Mouse hands, thumbs up. And then you draw little feet down at the bottom of the heart on either side of the point of the heart. Those represent the missions of life. And missions are the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. So those are our activities of our hands and our feet. And that's symbolized by yellow because it's our daily activity or the sun rising, the sunset. It's what you're doing every day. So you've got red for the heart, blue for the head, and yellow for the hands. And then values, well, values, they sit in our gut and in our throat. So I draw a circle just at the bottom of the heart, and that represents your gut. Your gut feel tells you that something's right or wrong. Or if you violate your values, you get an ulcer, you have this awful feeling. Or in the throat, if somebody asks you to do something that you know is wrong, you get this sort of choking response, this gag response that says, I don't want that, I don't want to take that into my life, into my being. So what's happening is when you tie purpose, vision, mission, and values to parts of the body, it's very informative, but it also gives a very clear picture of the difference between purpose, vision, mission, and values. Because purpose is why am I here, vision's where am I going, missions are how are we going to do it, and values are what's important along the way. And when those four questions are answered in very simple terms, but they're very profound terms, then there's a solid strategic base for either a life or a business or an organization, whether it's for-profit or not-for-profit. So that's really important, and it's a very important part of our consulting practice where we help people to articulate those individually and organizationally.
Now, we take those, Kevin, and then correct me or help me work this thing through. We take it in three-dimensional wealth and say for each dimension of your wealth, your personal wealth, your financial wealth, and your social wealth, we want to also have a vision, a mission, the values, and then take each of those and then learn how to sync them or integrate them.
Yes.
And put them together. So that way maybe we can use the same activity and accomplish multiple objectives or accomplish, you know,
what
your
really
mission in all three areas.
Yeah, you're getting a compound effect, so to speak, and I agree with that. I mean, what I will say, though, is what's interesting is if you really listen to what you said, is though there's one purpose.
That's correct.
But there's a vision for each of those three dimensions, and then each of those visions can be lived out in different missions. Now, chances are the values are going to be the same as well.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose and values.
Well, the core values, is that?
Yes,
yeah.
Tend to remain the same. Certainly, if you're talking about your family values versus your business values, you might say some language in the business that are not necessarily appropriate for family. Not that they're not good values, but it's just sort of a business value. I'm trying to think of an example where you'd say, we're going to treat our customers as they would want to be treated, where in the home you might say we're going to have the golden rule, which is to treat one as you wanted to be treated. So it's the same concept, but expressed in different language in different environments.
Mm-hmm. The title of the book actually has a subtitle, and it says, "Doing more of what you do best, more profitably." Now, it sounds so easy. I mean, is it really possible?
It is possible, but the thing that's interesting, I like to break that into three pieces. Doing more of what you do best, more profitably. The centerpiece is the doing what you do best. Your best is around your purpose, because that's the way God made you. That's the best of who you are. And most of us don't know when we're at our best, but we don't know how to get to our best. And so that's sort of that red piece of what's my best. Then if you come back to the more profitably piece, the third part of that, which is really the profit piece in this sense is not just simply financial profit. In this regard, it's very similar to your financial wealth piece where it's creating value, it's making contribution. And so it's that more profitably piece. And then doing more of it is actually, are you structuring your life? Are you structuring your business in such a way? And I actually have, in the doing more piece, there's something called the service model, which comes out of how do I create more service more efficiently and more effectively. And the service model is simply a, it looks like a pyramid or a triangle turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically, at the bottom of that is your purpose, and at the top is your customers. So in between your purpose and your customers, there are some layers that most people don't ever acknowledge or even understand that they're there, yet they're essential to creating the kind of service that one wants to give to one's customer and your customer's customer. So starting from the bottom, you have your purpose, and then the next layer up is your plan. This is, of course, as a financial planner, one puts plans in place that are consistent with one's purpose. Then you say, who are the people we need to help execute the plan? Then you say, what are the processes we need to have in place? And then based on that process, what's the performance that we're wanting to do? How do we actually make it happen? And then in turn, that serves the customer or and the customer's customer. So if you're doing a financial plan for a husband and wife, let's say, their customers may actually be their children or their church or a not-for-profit that they're investing in, or some other worthy cause that they're a part of, that they're really trying to be a good steward of their finances for, as well as themselves, wanting to make sure they have enough money when they retire, but then also to being able to contribute to their customer's customer. So whenever the purpose, the plan, the people, the process, the performance, and the customer's customers are aligned and integrated, that's where you're able to do more of it. And that's really where most consultants spend a lot of their time, is in the process and performance piece. They don't get down to that deeper place. So it's this essence of doing more, my purpose, thinking in terms of how do I create value. That's a vision piece. Where are we headed? And then doing it with the yellow piece or the service model of creating a structure that will support and help you to do more of what you do best more profitably. Sounds simple. But you know what's interesting is when we get clients that really get a hold of that, and I've got a, for instance, I've got a manufacturing company out in California that has 160 employees,
mm-hmm.
and they have grabbed a hold of their purpose statement, their vision, their mission, and their values, and it is transforming the way they're doing business in a very positive way, because suddenly they've been very confused in a, not a bad way necessarily. They're still making money, so it's not like they're going down the tubes, but they're finding that the work wasn't as satisfying as they thought it could be. It wasn't as significant, and now all of a sudden, they're able to say no to things, and they're able to know what to say yes to. And that is really important when you can say, this is a no, and this is a yes, and my no means no, and my yes means yes, as opposed to no maybe, or yes maybe. There's a clarity that comes. And so they're finding that excitement in their own business, and their employees are now grabbing it as well because of some programs that we can offer to help their employees capture it as well. So it's really exciting. I mean, believe me, it is so much fun to see that happen in a business.
Well, that is powerful. We're going to talk more about the consulting part of that after we take this break. We'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Kevin McCarthy, and we're discussing on the being on purpose and the on purpose business. And Kevin, you've got in the back of your book some of these endorsements are unbelievable. Ken Blanchard, I think most people would recognize the name, co-author of The 1 Minute Manager, but he writes, "I love the concept of the on purpose person. Then page after page, the on purpose business provides insights and strategies to take successful action." Here's another one I thought was great. I'll just read this one, too. This is Mark Victor Hansen. He was a co-author of Chicken Soup series, all of the Chicken Soup books. He said, "The on-purpose person changes lives. The on-purpose business can change the world." Whew. That's a big responsibility, Kevin.
It is. We try to just take it in small bites, though.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, even what we're doing with three-dimensional wealth, my concept is to try and change the financial planning world in order to stop being just financial managers, but be total wealth managers. Mm-hmm. And that's changing a whole industry. And I go back 25 years ago when we actually began in financial planning, there was not an industry. The name did not even exist, financial planner. There was no curriculum, no designations, no professional association. And we started out doing what we thought was the right thing in financial planning. And now 25 years later, I'm looking at it, and just like we talked about before, I said, well, is that all there is? And I look and I said, no, there's something else. So I hope to be starting, you know, another profession of three-dimensional wealth practitioners who say, wait, there is more. And how can we take these three and integrate them, sync them, and really, you know, make something. I think that those advisors that can have more fun doing it and have more passion, I mean, just like, you know, Hansen was saying in yours, you know, can you change the world? I'm hoping that, in fact, we have a chance to do something significant and change the world by not only just talking to our clients, but changing advisors and the way they look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I've realized though, that changing the world comes down to if one heart is changed, is transformed, that changes the world. It's sort of like the butterfly's wings. And truly, if one heart is touched, I've always tried to keep that in the back of my mind, that it's, if I take the whole world, it just becomes overwhelming, but one person at a time, and you just don't know what the ripple effects of that will be.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things I've told my kids as they grow up, and they would start out on a project, and it would look so enormous. I say, God plus one is a majority.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, go out and attempt it and do something so great that it's doomed for failure unless God is in the middle of it.
In fact, it's an overwhelming majority.
Yeah, that's right.
A landslide.
That's right. Hey, let's talk about integration with your plans in here and how that ties in. I've talked a little about syncing the three dimensions of wealth, But talk about it. You've broken it down into five on-purpose points of integration.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me start off by saying that integration, I think, is the frontier of business and life in the future. That and one of the things I really love about the three-dimensional wealth concept is because it's asking you to integrate rather than balance. And not that there's anything wrong with balance, but what I find is that balance is really a two-dimensional concept if you really get down to it, as opposed to a three-dimensional concept. So integration is where it's at for me. And a lot of people say, I'm trying to balance my life, and I say, forget about trying to balance your life, try to integrate your life. Or I'm trying to balance some things in my business other than their checkbook, of course,
mm-hmm.
Which does need to be balanced. But the fact of the matter is integration's where it's at. In terms of the five on-purpose points of integration, the first one is the purpose of the organization, which we've talked about in this interview a fair amount, so I won't go over it a whole lot.
Okay.
But it's really just talking about, you know, understanding clearly that is the point of integration. Everything passes through the purpose statement. So you can say, is it on purpose or is it off purpose? For instance, we have a client whose purpose statement as a company is appreciating worth. And they begin to look at every decision they make and saying, is this appreciating the worth of the individual? Is this appreciating the worth of our customers? Is this appreciating the worth of our employees? Is this appreciating the worth of our product? Is it appreciating worth or is it not? And so it becomes a very clear place of making decisions, yes, no, and therefore they have that common place of integration. Then they build that, they integrate their purpose into their plan so that they try to look at their plan and say, here's what it's about. Now, another third point of integration is their strategic story. And I really love to talk a lot about strategic story because as much as I'm a fan of purpose, vision, mission, and values, they still can be they're very powerful when written well, but it's still sort of in an outline format. Story, on the other hand, is narrative. If I tell you a story about my children playing in the sand and something crazy that happens to them, you're more apt to remember the story than if I were to list, there was a sandbox, there was sand, there was a wood, you see what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
The story is more memorable because it hits all sides of the brain. So we want to take their strategic story, how they got there. Sort of like you saying 25 years ago in our business, there wasn't a such thing as financial planning. And I wanted to see how I can transform the industry. That's a story that you're telling, and you're weaving that. And all of a sudden I hear your passion and what's going on. And at some level, I don't care what your purpose is because I hear your music, and your words are just supporting that. And underneath that, though, is the purpose. So you understand that. So it's important that we also tell our story. And, of course, all of that then translates into the fourth point of integration, which is the customer experience. You can sit there and say to somebody, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a will, and then we're going to look at your financial statements. We're going to look at your checkbook. We're going to look at this stuff, as opposed to sitting there saying to somebody, tell me about your dreams and what your dreams are, and we're going to take those dreams and we're going to look at some things. Now, all of a sudden, going into the checkbook, trying to figure out what's going on, creating a budget, doing these otherwise meaningless, boring things, which are not much fun to do unless you love the math, they don't take on a life. But whenever you start attaching those to the dream, then that customer experience becomes one of their saying, wow, look at what's going on. Roey helped me get through these things I've been putting off for years. But because I knew what my dream was, he stayed on me. He helped me through it. He led me through that. And then, of course, ultimately, then it does come down to your P&L. You know, in a business, your profit and loss, it is integrating. It's integrating. It merely reflects how well your larger integration is going in the rest of your life. At some level, unfortunately, what happens is if it becomes the only measure of integration, it can give a false positive. In other words, somebody can look extraordinarily rich but not have any wealth at all. And so this is, at some level, it's probably the least reflective, and yet it's the one that most of us would view as the most reflective of somebody's sense of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So those are sort of the five points.
It's interesting. When I went back and I thought about when I first read The On-Purpose Person and really sort of understanding, why are we doing what we're doing and is it the right thing? Before, there was really what's common now in investing is having an investment policy statement, Kevin. And so you would set that investment policy statement up, and it would tell you, you know, when do you buy and when do you sell and when do you hire and when do you fire, and you have criteria. And so it was before it even was really out there, it's what I called on-purpose investing.
Mm.
And that, this is what I got from you from reading that, and I said, I ought to be able to look right down, you know, the financial statement or the investment statement and say, why is that there? What's the purpose? If there's a purpose, I can say, okay, I understand. If not, then let's make sure that what's there is on purpose. And so it changed our whole way of doing business after having read your materials way back. And now, of course, you'd see there are courses and there's material on developing your investment policy statement. But we actually got started on that thanks to you.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because in many ways, if somebody were to invest, if you only looked at stock price, P.E. ratios, and just played technical numbers, which I realize a lot of people do invest purely on a technical basis, but if you really said, I'm going to read the annual report, I'm going to go visit their store if they have a store, I'm going to go see what these people are made of, I'm going to go experience what that company's like, then you get a whole different feel for what's going on in that company than just looking at the technical numbers. And that's really what you're describing, is we want to have all of that rich experience.
Well, the other interesting, I'll tell a quick story, is about I was at the Wharton School for the Certified Investment Management Analyst course in there in residence down at Wharton for a week. And I'm sitting there having lunch, and I'm listening to the conversation. And most of the guys are institutional investors, managers, and then there's, you know, a couple guys who are practitioners like myself, and I'm listening, and the conversation goes around how do we, you know, show our value, and you know, how, what's the criteria, and how are we mapping against our peers, and how are we doing, and that's really what's important. And I'm listening to the way they think that we need to communicate to the customer. And so after about 10 minutes of this conversation, Kevin, I stopped. I said, you know, I said, you really want to know what my customer wants to know? I said, the market's been down for the last 3 years. I said, I get the call. He says, is Johnny going to have enough for college?
Mm-hmm.
Said, that's what he really wants to know. He doesn't care about how it did against the S&P and all of this. And I said, but that's where it meets the road. I said, and that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be able to set up an investment policy statement so I can say, you know what? Johnny has enough for college, and we're going to deliver those funds. Now, your retirement funds, okay, they're a little bit down, but you've got 24 more years to go for retirement, and so we've got it invested on that. And so rather than looking at it as, you know, one pool of assets, we would set up objectives for their goals and their dreams for each one of them. So the boat fund is doing something, then the college fund is doing something different than the retirement funds, and so we would set that up. But, yeah, you're right. If you don't have those, the vision and the dreams, and then how to be able to put the underlying pieces in, it doesn't mean anything.
Absolutely.
Kevin, I hear some music in the background, which means that we're going to start to take a break, and we'll be back for our last segment of Three-Dimensional Wealth and more of Being on Purpose. Thanks.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On Managing Technology the Right Way, we'll talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its associated risks. Heard every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Sun Jogal, the host of Managing Technology the Right Way, will interview business leaders and other experts that have shaped the way we use technology. If you want to keep up with the changing world of technology, listen to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sunjo Gall every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with Kevin McCarthy, and we're going to finish up this hour talking about the on-purpose business person program and some of the things that, Kevin, you've put together. And I want to read something that I think, again, was interesting. It calls the challenge. It says, are you ready to kick it into that ever-elusive high gear? You count your blessings for your success to date, yet you know more is possible. A little help could go a long way to improving both your business and your life. You're a very busy and successful business person who is prone to action over planning. Give me the plan and let me run. You don't need motivation. You don't need time and a place to think, a method to do it, and some unbiased input and feedback from peers and a coach. So that's the on-purpose business program, and it says it provides a proven system that is simple to use yet profound in performance. Phew. Can you tell us about the programs that you've developed? I know there's more than just this business person program. There's also a top performer program and some other consulting and some of the dates. So tell me how you got to that as part of your mission and your vision.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that I looked at was whenever the books were written, The On-Purpose Person was the first book that was released. Now, both concepts came together at the same time, and I artificially broke it into an individual or a personal piece and then an organizational piece. And that organization, it's called the On-Purpose Business. It could also be the On-Purpose Family, the On-Purpose Church, the On-Purpose Synagogue, the whatever you want to call it. So the On-Purpose Not-for-Profit. So I broke it into personal and organizational. Really, what I saw was that To get to that next level, that we needed to go deep within and find the purpose, and then from there we could begin to build out our life or our business. And when the books were written, I didn't really intend to be in the seminar business or the speaking business. That was just sort of a message on my heart, but we started getting phone calls from people saying, do you have a program for this?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, and they said, could you put one together? And I started, actually did a radio interview, and somebody called and said, could you come to our church and do a program? And I said, sure. I mean, I was not bashful about speaking. I never had really been, I'm not a person that gets nervous about public speaking. I certainly get excited about what it is I need to say and to make sure that I'm being a good steward of the message and make sure I don't screw it up in that sense. But otherwise, I'm pretty comfortable either on air or in front of a group. So I went out and did a program, and people said, wow, can I sign up for something that you have? And so I ended up developing an on-purpose person program, and then when the on-purpose business book came out, I'd been doing business consulting at that point for probably a good 15, 20 years anyway. And so this was really just taking the nomenclature of my business consulting practice and wrapping it around there. So we had that today we've evolved to where we have programs. One of the things that I saw, and that since we're really focusing on the on-purpose business today, is I'd have an owner of a business that comes to me and says, I'm really struggling with what to do with my business, which I usually find is saying I'm having an internal personal struggle about what I want to do with the business. So first we help them clarify personally what's going on. Then we look at the business issues, which are usually, they tend to fall out fairly naturally and simply. It's not that complex for those of us that sort of understand the integrative nature of business. And then we look at some things that are going on there. But the next challenge is, how do I get my management team involved? So what we do is we actually offer strategic planning sessions. I have a business partner named Mary Tomlinson, mm-hmm. and the two of us will go in and we do a strategic planning session that can be anywhere from a day to 2 days, depending on whether they have their purpose, vision, mission, and values articulated. And now the management team sort of gets excited about it, and they're on board, and then they say, yeah, but we've got 100 employees. How do we get the other 80 people excited and do it affordably, because Mary and I can't, you know, they can't be paying us to be out there at the rates that we charge, frankly, to be out there. So we have people that are trained to deliver a one-day program on the on-purpose person and a one-day program for the on-purpose business called Top Performer, which was developed in conjunction with Valencia Community College here in Orlando. And so we have these programs where people in groups of 25 can go through very affordably, and they can actually have that, drive that message deeper into their organization. And so that is just really a joy for me whenever I can see it start at the top and work its way all the way through to the front lines of the organization.
Now, you've got, I guess, some coming up right now down in Florida. I think August 29th and 30th, and another one October 10th and 11th.
And actually, the program, we do a program called the On-Purpose Business Person, which is, it's a very small group. You have to be an owner or an executive in an organization where you have profit and loss responsibility. And that's actually a 2-day intensive overnight program followed up with 30 days worth of coaching, and that's a very small group. And that is truly for that business owner. And we do those here in Orlando. And then the program on the 11th and 12th is it's a program that's really open to a broader audience, a different pricing structure, and that's, you know, a one-day on-purpose person program and a one-day on-purpose business program, or a top performer program with no follow-up coaching to it.
Okay, and then you've got one though in January. What is that one about then? End of January of next?
Well, the one in January is I don't know what the schedule is on that. I think the one in January is probably one of our training programs where we train associates.
Now,
is what I would say.
Tell us about that, because I think there are designations. Because what you've been talking about is taking a business owner through these programs. How can someone like myself become an associate, either a trainer or a planner or a coach or a consultant or any level of those? How can that happen?
Well, we do have the four designations that you designated are a trainer, a planner, a coach, and a consultant. Generally speaking, Roe, people like yourself that are in the financial services business or people that may be a therapist or a counselor would come to the planner. In other words, they really want to do life planning work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sort of limit their practice and say, here, we're just going to focus in on the on-purpose person and you can do life planning. And we have a number of different programs that they can take people through, everything from a short introductory course that you could do to 100 people. You could show to 100 people to a one-on-one mentor program that lasts 8 weeks. And so that's for on-purpose planners. Now, we have people who are trainers who just want to do stand-up training. That's where you're in a sort of a classroom situation. And that's the programs I was describing where 25 people are in a group and you take them through one day and it's not one-on-one work, but it's one with many work and small group experiences within there. So that's trainers, stand-up training type. And then from those two groups, we have some people that say, you know, I'd really like to go to the next level, which is coach people in this material. So those people, we then set up really sort of an independent study program with them where we're working with them on they're doing one-on-one coaching with people. And some of that may be life issues. Some of that may be business issues, depending upon that person's experience. We customize it to their background. And then there are those people who say, I want to be a consultant, which means they really want to consult with business owners on helping their businesses to be on purpose. Those people are a very special group who probably have a lot of business experience. They might be a business owner, a coach, consultant already. And then we actually work with them, again, more on an independent study basis where we're co-working clients together and they're learning the whole on purpose. Mary Tomlinson has been with me now probably about 3 or 4 years. She says, every time I do a consulting project with you, Kevin, it amazes me how much more I learn about being on purpose. So mm-hmm. it's an ongoing learning process. Of course, I've been thinking about this stuff for 20 years now. So I get the chance to share that with people, and it's but that's we create associates, and then for those people that are associates and really say, you know, I want to be help people on purpose full time, we then have an opportunity for some of those people to move into partnership with us. Sort of once they jump through all the hoops, and we know we're copacetic, and these are people that are highly trusted, and then actually they would start training other trainers and other planners and other consultants and so on and so forth.
Well, my vision would be, Kevin, is that the people that are going through our curriculum and becoming certified three-dimensional wealth practitioners would have additional training in this as either planners or coaches, because it ties into total wealth management, life planning, and where I see the next generation of planning going, where I'd like to see it going.
Yeah, we're very similar in the sense that I don't touch on the financial side at all. But we focus heavily on helping somebody to grow their business and to grow their life. And really, I said it the opposite way. The first thing we do is help them grow their life and then grow their business or their career. I mean, we also get involved in career issues, not just simply business owners. And whenever that's happening, then I think when the financial pressure is off to some degree, then somebody is able to be in a position where they can look at some of these deeper issues, even though I would say the best thing to do is look at the deeper issues. Because whenever you get to those deeper issues, you're more likely going to find to what it is how to do more of what you do best more profitably. But in the meantime, you know, you have to deal with reality where people are. They just can't get up and walk away from a job and say, here it is. Most people don't have the disposition to do that or the financial resources.
Kevin, how do we get a hold of you, and how would someone, if they were interested, to contact you?
Sure. Our website is onpurpose.com, just like it sounds, onpurpose.com, and they can get a hold of us. Our phone number is 407-657-6000.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you, Kevin, for joining me this last hour. It's gone quickly.
Good to visit.
And I hope that the listeners have enjoyed our discussion, and I invite you to join me next week at the same time. And I'm Roy Diefendorf, and this is Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.